Thank you, Chase. And thank you all for being here this afternoon. And I am Garrett Montgomery. I'm a weed science student at the University of Tennessee with Dr. Larry Steckel as my advisor. And this afternoon I'm going to talk about a study that we've been doing where we're evaluating a new fluoridone premix for weed control in cotton in conjunction with Dr. Stanley Culpepper at Georgia. So fluoridone is a pretty old herbicide. It was initially evaluated back in the 1970s and 80s. At that time, we had a slightly different weed spectrum, and it didn't control some of the key weed species at that time. And also, it's a pretty expensive product to make. So those factors didn't allow it to go to the market as a cotton weed control product at that time. But it was picked up by C-Pro as Sonar in the aquatic market. And recently, as we begin to look at this product again and revamp our efforts to try to control this weed, it's been brought back as Break in cotton. So this herbicide is a carotenoid biosynthesis inhibitor. It's more commonly a bleaching herbicide or a WSSA group 12 herbicide. It does have the ability to provide residual control of grasses and small-seeded broadleaf weeds for long periods of time. However, some of the drawbacks of this herbicide is that it can require up to half an inch of rainfall for activation, and also it can have other factors such as organic matter and amount of precipitation can influence the kind of control that you're going to get throughout the growing season. Moving on to Break F2, this is a new product also from C-Pro. It's a combination of 0.2 pounds of fluoridone and 0.125 pounds of fumesafin. And the reason for this premix is to try to alleviate some of the problems of needing that much rainfall for activation. So with the fumesafin, it can help bridge the gap until the fluoridone is activated enough to provide weed control. And in comparison to the rate of fumesafin that we're currently using, this is about a half X rate. And in 2014, we received a Section 18 label for this herbicide on a limited number of acres in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And it's only labeled in areas where Palmer amaranth, glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth is prevalent and problematic. Glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth is the weed that we judge our weed control programs by. It's the most troublesome weed of cotton in all the cotton-producing states in the southeastern United States. It's extremely competitive. It's a C4 plant species that's native to the Sonoran Desert. It can grow much faster than our crops. It can get much taller than our crops. And it can inhibit them in a number of ways. It can germinate in Tennessee anytime from about March into October, depending on the conditions. And when conditions are conducive, it can produce hundreds of thousands of seeds. But almost just as bad, it can produce seed, you know, almost as soon as it comes out of the ground. And in cotton weed control programs, the herbicide options that we have available for control are extremely limited. In Roundup Ready systems, we're almost solely relying on overlaying residual herbicides for control of this weed. With that in mind, and the number of herbicide modes of actions that we currently have available to us for controlling this weed, we've created a need for additional modes of action for controlling it. So the objective of this research was to evaluate the efficacy and crop tolerance of Break F2 in comparison to Break, Reflex, and some other commercially available herbicides that we have right now. This research was conducted in 2014 at Milan and Jackson, Tennessee, and also in Garden Valley, Georgia. The treatments were arranged within a randomized complete block design, and the application was made with standard small plot equipment using a backpack sprayer at 15 gallons per acre. We visually assessed crop injury at 7, 14, and 21 days after treatment, and we assessed Palmer amaranth control at 14, 21, 28, and 35 days after treatment. This data was subjected to SAS 9.3 using ProcMix with the alpha at the 5% level of probability. In Milan and Jackson, we use Stoneville 4747 as our variety, and in Garden Valley, they use Stoneville 6448. Our planting date, which was also the application date, was pretty typical for each area. In each location, we planted into a stale, clean seed bed, and then followed immediately after that, made the herbicide application. And according to the previous research, things like organic matter and precipitation can affect control, so I put the cumulative amount of precipitation that we got in inches of rainfall. Maybe hard to see for some of you in the back on the bottom of the graph. But at Jackson and Garden Valley, we got right around 6 inches of rain at each of those. And at Milan, we only got about 2.5 inches of rain. And our organic matter and the soil pH, it didn't vary much among location, but I just would like to point that out before we move in to the rest of the presentation. Our treatments consisted of Reflex at 0.063 pounds AI, and it increased incrementally to Reflex at 0.25 pound per acre. We had Brake at 0.05 pounds active ingredient, increasing incrementally to 0.2 pounds per acre. And then we also had Brake F2 at the 1X rate that I mentioned earlier. And then we also included a 1.5 and a 2X rate just to have for comparison to see how it did. And then we had Reflex plus Warrant and Direx plus Warrant as our comparison treatments. Because of the number of treatments that we had and the amount of data that came out of that, I broke this into two data sets that I think reflects what we saw this year pretty well. The first data set is Reflex and Brake in comparison to the 1X rate of Brake F2. And then we also had Brake F2 at the 1 and 2X rates in comparison to Reflex plus Warrant and Direx plus Warrant. With that, we'll move into the results and discussion of this. Again, we had varying amounts of rainfall and some slightly different soil factors at each location, so keep that in mind as we move into this. For crop injury, presented as percent injury on the vertical axis, with the individual bars representing the herbicide and the groups of bars representing the rating interval. At all of our locations, we had very low amount of injury just overall from all of our treatments. There was not a significant difference in the injury from Brake F2, Brake, or Reflex at 7 or 14 days after treatment. However, when we look at Palmer amaranth control, at 14 days after treatment, there wasn't a significant difference. But when we stretched that out to 28 days after treatment, Brake provided greater control than Reflex, and Brake F2 was greater than both of those. Just to visually show the data that I was talking about earlier, Reflex didn't provide as good a control as Brake, which was not as good as Brake F2, and you can see the non-treated there that we were competing against. So moving into the second data set, the groups of bars represent the herbicide, and the individual bars represent the location that they were at. There was a treatment by location interaction here, so I included that on the graph. At 21 days after treatment, Brake F2 was similar at the 1 and 2X rates at Jackson, but not at Milan. At Milan, the 2X rate was greater than that of the 1X rate, which would be close to what we expected. And this treatment wasn't present at Garden Valley, so we didn't include it there. But at Jackson, the Brake F2 was as good as our other greatest treatment that we had available, which was Reflex plus Warrant at all locations or Direx plus Warrant at two of the three locations. Moving to 28 days after treatment, Palmer amaranth control, we didn't get back to Milan, so we don't have that data. But again, the control was similar from each rate of Brake F2 at Jackson, and it was greater than that of the control that we had at Garden Valley. And there was not any variation among the locations for Reflex plus Warrant, and Direx plus Warrant was greater, had better control at Garden Valley than it did at Jackson. 35 days after treatment, this is where we're starting to stretch it out. We can see which residual herbicides were providing the greatest control. Again, there was not a significant difference in Brake F2 at the 1 or 2X rate at Jackson. Each of those were greater than Brake F2 at Garden Valley, and they were similar to Reflex plus Warrant at Jackson, which was greater than Reflex plus Warrant at Garden Valley or Direx plus Warrant at either location. So in summary, the injury from Brake F2 was similar to that of Brake or Reflex at the same rate, 7 and 14 days after treatment. The Palmer amaranth control was similar for these herbicides at 14 days after treatment, but it was not at 28 days after treatment. Break F2 provided greater control than either of these components alone. Palmer amaranth control from the 1x rate of Break F2 did vary. It was similar to Reflex Plus Warrant and Direx Plus Warrant, which was our currently available controls at 21 days after treatment. And the control from the rates of Break F2 varied at each rating interval among locations. So in conclusion, we did have varied control from Break F2. We feel like we need to do more research to determine exactly which factors are causing this variation in our control. But it does show very good potential to be included into our weed control program and provide us with a new mode of action that we could possibly use to control Palmer amaranth in our production system right now. In the future, we plan to repeat the current research that we did with more focus on organic matter and other possible influencing factors. And we also plan to evaluate different ratios of fluridone and fumescifin to see if we can mess with that a little bit and maybe help eliminate some of that inconsistency that we were seeing. And with that, I thank you all for your time and being here today, and I'd be glad to take any questions.
Any questions for our speaker?
Yes, sir.
If you replace Dr. Stecker tomorrow, of the chemistry you focused on, what would you recommend the cotton grower use for emergency cotton?
The question was if I was Dr. Stecker tomorrow and somebody asked me what to use for a pre in Tennessee. According to this, it would be hard to not tell somebody to go with Reflex and Warrant. It did very good. I do like to break F2. I personally would like to have my feet under, have a little bit more data about it to be able to consistently tell somebody, you know, yes or no, don't use it here and not there.
Not the Snickers speaker.